In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to our series, Treasures, and our meditations on the letter to Romans in chapter 9. And again, it's not an easy chapter, but it's full of Christian philosophy, how to explain God's choices related to the free man, to the free will of man, and also proving that God is free to choose. So it wasn't easy. Now, St. Paul is mentioning many of the verses from the Old Testament to prove that this plan of choosing the Gentiles were there in the Old Testament. It wasn't new. And God, you know, planned for this in the early days, that because of the bad people of Israel, and because he wants everyone to be saved, he will accept the Gentiles one day when they believe in his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, verse 29, "And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah." So, for Israel people, you know, most of them will not be saved because they refused to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament knew this, declared this, that the people of Israel, the people of God, will end up like Sodom and Gomorrah. Only very minute fraction of them, the remnant of Israel, these people will believe in Christ, like the disciples, like Saint Mary, like nowadays some of the Jews may believe in Christ. But most of these people, people of Israel, they did not believe in the good news. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? Yes. The Gentiles who never, you know, thought of being righteous people, and they were not, you know, caring for this real God, now they were accepted as good people because they believed in the real God. He's saying, what shall we say then? Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. Yes. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Yes, again. Means that the Jew people, the Jewish people, although they have the law of Moses, the law of God, they were never, you know, follow the law of God. So they are not righteous. They cannot enjoy the righteousness of God. But for the Gentiles who had never had this law of God, because they believed in Christ, the real Savior, they got this righteousness, the righteousness of faith. So the Jewish people failed to be the people of God, and the Gentiles succeeded to be the people of God. The Jewish people failed to be righteous people before the eyes of God, and the Gentiles became the righteous people before the eyes of God, just because of faith, because of their belief in Christ, the Lord and the Savior. Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. The problem with the Jewish people, that they wanted to prove their righteousness only by following the commandments of the law of Moses. And when it comes to the faith, to believe in Christ as Savior, and to, you know, admit that these people fail to follow the law, they never accept the idea. They wanted to prove their self-righteousness by their hands, by their power, ignoring the salvation, the free salvation given by Christ on the cross through faith. Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And that's exactly the words of the Old Testament, that Christ was stumbling them they cannot accept to be saved by the gift of salvation given by the Savior, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ incarnate in the flesh. They did not like the idea. They liked to prove themselves as the best people, the followers of the rules of the law. As it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense." So they rejected this rock, the rock of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not accept him as God the Savior, but they rejected him and crucified him. And whoever believes on him, the real rock, will not be put to shame. So the witness in the Old Testament that these people will be stumbled by the faith declared in the New Testament. And they wanted to keep the Jewish tradition as being the only people of God based upon the law of Moses, ignoring whatever ideas given by God through the new salvation given in the New Testament. Chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. When somebody listens to the word of St. Paul, he may think that St. Paul is always against the Jewish people because he is like attacking them in their behavior, in their attitude. Why he is always with the side of the Gentiles, although he was a Jewish people. He was a Jewish man, he was a Pharisee. So now he is telling everyone, by the way, I'm praying always for the salvation of my people. These people are my people. So he's saying, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a deal for God. So looking to the good side now, the people of Israel, they always had faith, they always had deal. They have this spiritual deal for God, but not according to knowledge. You know, they are Pharisee, they are very conservative, they are eccentric in their thoughts. They show the zeal for God, but with no real knowledge, not sane knowledge. They understood God in a wrong way. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness. The problem, the Jewish people never accepted that because God is good, he wants everyone to be saved. No, they always focus on themselves. They want to prove their righteousness. They don't care that God is righteous. They care that these people are righteous. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So again, he's telling that it was not the problem of the law of Moses. It was always the problem of the people of the law. The people, you know, made use of the law in a wrong way, that they felt superior on everyone. They felt that they are chosen and God will never reject them. And they did not accept the idea that God may accept others and think of giving his righteousness to people by faith. They rejected this faith and they rejected the Messiah, the real Savior, and they proved themselves as we are the righteous one, we are the followers of Moses, these Gentiles are like animals, and no way God will think of them in any good way. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. So again, he's speaking to many people who were Jewish in their backgrounds. So he was trying to prove that in the Old Testament, with the works of Moses and other prophets, they declared this truth, that God is fair and God is love and God wants everyone to be saved. And by choosing special people in the Old Testament, that's not the end of the story. It was the start. These people, you know, will bring, you know, forth the Messiah. The Messiah was a Jew man. But the Messiah came to save all people, not the Jewish people. Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. So, as if in the Old Testament there were two righteous ways. The righteous way of the law, that it was mentioned that the man who does those things shall live by them. Does the commandments of the law, he shall live by them. But there is another way for to be righteous man. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That's to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That's to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. He means here that it's always the work of God. Don't say, what should I do? I cannot do anything. I cannot save myself. Even if I try many times to do all the commandments, I will fail. I failed. I'm a big failure. I can never be holy by myself. Not just by obeying the commandments. I failed. And my will never, you know, continue to be good. So I need the help of God. I need the grace of God. I need the righteousness of God. So don't the words of the Old Testament saying, who will ascend into heaven? Who will bring the Savior? Who will go to God to tell him, please, we are weak and we cannot save ourselves. We are big failures. All people are not good. So who will ascend to heaven to complain for the people? And between brackets, he said, that's to bring Christ down from above. As if all the nations, all the people on earth crying out, please come and save us. Come down to save us. We cannot save ourselves. So it was written in the Old Testament, this crying out of all nations. Or who will descend into the abyss? That's to bring Christ up from the dead. Because it was like a prophecy that Christ will go to Hades to open the Hades, to bring out all the good people who believed in him, who were waiting him in hope. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. So it's very easy now to be saved. It's not as tough as, you know, the old days. In the old days, you have not to do this and that. And you had to do all these regulations, all this stuff. And no one could do everything. But now it's like feeling in the heart and simple words coming from the mouth. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now that's the key word. That's, you know, the most important message. Now the salvation had nothing to do with the law of Moses. Had nothing to do with the circumcision of the Jewish people. It's not related anymore to the Sabbath day. But it's related so much to the name of the Lord. When you believe that Christ, the Messiah, is the Lord incarnate to save everyone, and you followed him, you believe in your heart and you declare, you confess saying this by your mouth, now you are the Son of God. Meaning that you will be baptized on his name and, you know, you will be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now you can pray, our Father who art in heaven. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And this proved that there were like the ritual or the rites of baptism, because in the act of baptism from the early days, anyone coming to be baptized, he should confess by his mouth, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as God, as the real Savior. I believe in God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I believe in his resurrection. I believe in his second coming. I'm waiting for eternal life. So this confession, you know, precedes all with the act of baptism. So he is saying this, as you know, the custom of the church now at that time. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not put to shame. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, because the word of God was forever. For anyone who ever believes in Christ will never be condemned. So it's not related to the background being Jew or Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's very important declaration here. That, you know, you believe in Christ and you declare, you confess, you call his name. And that's the password, that's the key word. By calling his name, you are now entitled to be the Son of God. Now your name is written in the book of life because you believed in him, God the Savior. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? He wants to move on to speak about, you know, the missionary idea or evangelizing the name of Christ everywhere. Because as simple as calling the name of God, that's the start of the story of salvation. But for anyone, how can he call the name of Christ if he never believed in him? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? For many people, they have never heard about the name of Christ. So how can we ask them that they call his name? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So it's not their responsibility, it's our responsibility, because we know now the name of Christ. We know now the key word of catching the kingdom of heaven. Again, let's read this again. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. As if St. Paul is telling everyone, that's my life now. I'm a preacher. I'm a messenger. I have the name of Christ. I want to deliver the good news to everyone, the good tidings to everyone. I want everyone on earth to call, to cry out, saying, my Lord Jesus Christ. So I wanted to give them this eternal life through the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's now our duty, to preach the name of God, because they cannot call him without a belief, and they cannot believe in him as far as they have never heard about him. And they can never know him unless we go and tell them his name. So now it's our responsibility. Being good Christians, we have to be the light of the world. We have to be the salt of the earth. We have to carry the good news to everyone. We want everyone to believe as us in the real Savior, in the salvation given in the New Testament through our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Amen.